Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.
Doing something that is right. Don't make it easy when it's done. To turn around and walk away. To watch a friendship die, it hurts me some. But it's something that I needed. I guess I'll be a loner for a while. Doing something that is right. Don't make it right because it makes you smile.
That is a song called Something That Is Right by a band from the Northwest called Sundown.
Nice. Really nice.
You like that?
A lot.
I wrote that.
Did you really?
I did. That was my band, Sundown.
Are you serious?
As a heart attack.
Yeah.
That is really nice.
Thank you.
Okay, what was the band? Sundown?
Sundown. I got. You want me to send them to you? I've got four of them on there. Yeah, I got four.
I really would.
I have an EP of four.
I was just going to ask you who it was because I said this is really nice. Who sang that?
David Audie. David was just a really great singer. In fact, when I wrote for his voice because he just fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we played with bass, three guitars, sometimes a piano, sometimes not, and three vocalists.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Jim, you never cease to amaze me.
I don't amaze many people anymore. I just, you know. This is LA Talk Radio, and it's Thursday evening. You are listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina. We just came out of KWTF Radio, Studio One, and I'm in the studio now with Russ Avison, and of course, the bookie herself, Jerry Christina, and we have Richard Palinelli, who is on the line with us, and he'll be with us shortly. And wasn't it fun being next door?
It was different.
Yeah, it's we get to say whatever we want and talk about whatever we wanted to talk about, and kind of makes the world okay.
Well, and it makes the show seem a little more highbrow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're not highbrow.
No.
Okay. Of course, what is the name of the show? The Writer's Block, thank you, is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, and we are there for new writers, and new writers pretty much only. If you have a manuscript that you want to go through or you think you want to publish into a book, you can give us a call or you can send us the manuscript, and we'd be happy to go through it with you and see what you've got done. Of course, when you hit that last period and you've pulled the last page out of your word processor.
I'm sorry. When you said you pulled that last page out of your
out of your ass.
Sorry, that's right.
And that's just the start. And so if you think you're done, you ain't. So give us a call. You can call us at 805-795-3165. That goes right into Black Dog Publishing. Or you can email us at jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com or R. Palinelli, PAOLINELLI, at Tuscany Bay Books, and we'll let you know what we think, and we'll get you on the track to getting your book printed and getting on a shelf and where you can give it away to your friends, and that's what everybody does anyway. So actually, I said that last week, and Bob Brill was over there going, yeah, yeah, yeah. We inherited Bob Brill from KNX 1070.
Right.
Yeah, so Bob's a good guy. Okay, tonight's guest is Mr. Richard Palinelli, and I'm going to bring him in right now because, of course, he is an ex, well, actually, he still can be, a somewhat of a co-host on the Writer's Block whenever he decides to want to call in. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Richard.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my Nebraska report. You know, maybe once a month I'll call in and
oh, my God, that would be so much fun. Yeah, and today we have Richard Polinelli calling in from Nebraska, that it is still there.
Omaha report, which would probably take a month just to get enough information that would be worthwhile talking about.
Oh, yeah, so once a month is fine. Omaha report, weather, sunny.
The fish are swimming upstream.
No. We are in thunderstorm season, so I'm actually looking out the window and hoping this cell holds off until the end of the show.
Now, you do understand that you are in Tornado Alley, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I off and on 14 years in the Midwest, so it is not a big culture shock for me to be here. You know, I there's nothing Nebraska is going to throw at me I haven't seen before, so I'm okay.
There you go.
Do you have a basement, Richard?
We actually, the building we are in has a storm shelter, so that leads me to believe that there's enough tornado watches and warnings around here to warrant that. So.
Oh, good. Now I won't have to worry about you.
We'll be good.
Is it one of those things where it's got those the two doors that are kind of on an angle out in the middle of your yard, and you'll have to open up and go down the stairs and pull them in behind you?
I hope not. I hope it's more of a just run into here and go down the stairs type of thing. So we'll see.
And slam the steel door. Will it double as a
fallout
shelter? Because you know we are moving that direction.
Well, yeah, and we're just down the road from an Air Force base that I think is pretty important. So, yeah, we'll be one of the first places to go up.
Which Air Force base is in Omaha? OFUT? Is that the one?
Yeah, I think that's the one, yes.
Yeah. How did I know that? I just remember. Sometimes the fog lifts and just things pop in my head.
Well,
Russ is over there going, nah, you read that somewhere. Well, Richard, we're gonna. Normally, we would be sitting here just chatting with you about a book that you've written or something that you've done that is just like tremendous. Other than getting picked to go to the Dragon, what is it? The Dragon.
DragonCon.
DragonCon in August in Atlanta. Good luck with that.
Yeah,
because it's gonna be nice and cool in Atlanta in August.
It will be. It's an indoor event, so I am not planning on coming outside till the sun goes down.
But you don't know which building you're going to be in yet.
No, because it covers a huge chunk of downtown Atlanta. It covers four different hotels,
right.
The building. So I have no clue until I get there where I'm going to be.
Right. Well, you remember Patty said, "Let her know where you're going to be, and then she'll send the kids over to you."
I will send up a flare, and they can follow me. Follow that to me, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I don't know about sending up a flare. You probably set the hotel on fire.
Well, there's supposed to be 70,000 people there, so we may have to have something.
Okay, well, we have a call coming in, so let's find out. And I just hung up on Richard. Damn it, I hate it when I do that. Hello, you're on the Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to?
Hi there, this is Dawn Ireland.
Oh, you are the editor.
Yes.
Okay.
I am the editor.
Hang on just a second. I'm going to call Richard back, so don't go away.
Don't lose him.
I keep trying.
He's
like a bag pity. You know, he just doesn't want to go away. Here we go. Merge calls. Okay, Richard, are you there? He will be. Okay. Don. Okay, Richard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got
all right.
On hold.
Both of you are here now, right? Okay, wait a minute. I should have Donna here, too?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, now we're going to add to group call. I'm going to add another one here. And hi, you're on the Writer's Block. And who we've got here?
This is Brenda Nichols. How are you?
Oh, we're good.
Hey, Brenda, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm glad you and Don were able to get in.
Yeah. We'd love to have you. Glad to have you. Well, Richard, let's talk a little bit about, because as I said, this is going to be a somewhat of a weird show for us, in that we want to kind of talk about a little bit about the book, but then we really want to get into what it's like to pick up the reins of someone else's work and try to finish it the best way you can and make it meld together. And that's going to be the work of you and then, of course, the editor. So give us a little bit about the book that you had to work on.
Well, it's a book written by Gibson Michaels, and that was his pen name. His real name is Michael Gibson, so I will be referring to him as Mike. I just didn't want everybody getting confused as who I was talking about. But it was going to be Mike's fourth book that he wrote. And Brenda, how did he intend to pronounce the title?
Erie,
that's what I thought. Okay, so Erie was going to be his fourth. His first three were a trilogy. It was a military sci-fi trilogy. The last book in that trilogy had been a Dragon Award finalist. So this was, Erie was going to be a little bit different as far as the type of story from the trilogy. And Mike had sent me at one point, I think the first 14 chapters, and I was intrigued by it, and he continued writing it. Unfortunately, last September, Mike passed away, and he wasn't done with Erie yet. So I don't remember the exact timeline, but I had reached out to Brenda because she had mentioned that she was very frustrated that he was so close to being done with it that he wasn't allowed to finish it. And I had asked her if somebody in his writing group that he had formed out there in Houston was going to pick it up and try to finish it. And I knew Dawn had edited his other books, so I knew she would edit this last one. And between that, you know, there'd be a way to get it finished. And she wrote me back that they were actually going to wait a week or two and ask me if I wanted to do it. And as I mentioned in the at the end of the book, when I talk about my role in it, if you had the over on 1/1,000,000th of a second, as far as how long it took me to say yes, you would have lost your money, because this was the last and best thing I could do for my friend was to finish this book. And there was no way I was going to pass that up. So, Brenda sent me everything he had. Unfortunately, Mike didn't use an outline and he didn't have notes, so we basically had to go with what he had written. And then I talked to Brenda and I talked to his son Jeremy and just, you know, kind of picked their brain a little bit about what he had mentioned to them as far as what he had in mind, and just kind of took it from there. And I remember getting the manuscript and opening it up on my computer screen, and I've got the critique notes. And the first thing that flashed through my head was a scene from the movie Space Cowboys, where James Garner is reciting the Shepherd's Prayer, which was Alan Shepard on the top of the rocket, not knowing if the thing was going to blow up or not. And his prayer was, and forgive the language, "Dear God, please don't let me fuck this up." And that is the line that went through my head when I first looked at this was, whatever I do, don't let me screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it meant that much, you know, it, definitely to me and to everybody who was close to Mike, to do this and to do it right. You know, there's no way we could word for word write it the way he did. But I think at the end of the day, I think we got it as close as anybody could. So it was, you know, just trying to get it done so that his final book could be out there and people could read it and hopefully enjoy it. And, you know, we'll just kind of see, we'll see how we did.
Okay. Now, if you wouldn't mind, give us a little bit of the inside story of this book, because we know that it's not been published yet, so it's not yet available. So I don't want to give away any information about the book, or certainly, a disclaimer is that we don't want to give away anything about the book other than maybe one or two little salient points. So kind of go through the basic story, if you would, and we'll start from there.
Well, it's kind of it's got multiple storylines going through it. So you'll be in the first century Ireland as a Roman legion led by General Agricola is invading Ireland. And so you're introduced to the character, I think it's pronounced Aaron, who is
that's correct.
Okay, so he is trying to fight off these invaders. There's going to be fairies. There's a fairy king, and Brenda, correct me if I'm getting anything mixed up here. So you've got that storyline going, but at the same time, you're in the future, in the 33rd century, and there's a writer named Brian Steele who, in a way, if you're a writer, you kind of appreciate this. Not only is he writing books, but in order to write books, he has a real job where he makes money so he can, you know, write the books and still put food on the table. So as he's going out to this job on a planet named Eerie, he's working on this fantasy novel. As the stories progress, you will kind of come to understand that what Brian is writing may be going on in reality, or it could be somebody is taking what he's writing and making it reality. So that's about as far into the spoilers as I want to go.
Okay.
But you'll have these two storylines, and they will converge, and then there is another species that's going to come into play that will explain why this planet is doing what it's doing and why you've got these first century Romans and first century Celtic people millions of light years from where they should be and thousands of years ahead of where they should be.
Okay.
Wow.
I know.
I was listening to that, Richard, and I read the book. And you confuse the crap out of me with that.
I'm sorry.
No, you know, because what I'd like to say, first of all, the book was amazing. I enjoyed it immensely. Secondly, I want to tell you, I don't even know where you actually picked up and finished the book, but it all ran together seamlessly. And it was a very satisfying ending to the book.
Yes.
I felt really satisfied. I got done with it. I said, oh, I feel good. But the other thing I want to say is it's not as confusing as you just made it out to be.
I'm trying not to give things away, too. So
Spoiler alerts are hard.
What I say. Mm-hmm. Maybe Brenda could explain it a little bit better. We'll let her do that.
Well, the way that Mike explained it was a writer that was basically working a day job was writing this Celtic fantasy, and basically what he writes, he thinks is starting to happen in reality around him. And he kind of molded, as Richard said, historical facts with Celtic fantasy in a spaceship. So it was quite the undertaking for Richard to pick up where Mike had left off and run with it. And I agree with you. I felt like it was seamless because I was so familiar with Mike's writing. I noticed one little quirky thing that Mike did that Richard didn't do. But other than that, I really felt like it was seamless as far as the last words that Mike wrote and where Richard picked up and basically carried that ball into the end zone. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very happy with it. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, Richard, that you wrote the last four chapters. And
I
went back and I reread from like halfway through and then into the fourth chapter again, and you know, I kept looking for things that would appear to be a seam, and the only thing I found in the whole thing was that when you first started the first of your four chapters that you wrote, it almost like you had a little trepidation getting in there because it was almost like you were afraid to go and screw up the story. But once you caught I mean, like in the second page, you'd caught on and boom, took off like a shot. So, I mean, it was fairly seamless, and I have to applaud you because that's very hard to do. And having written a book with you is really hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I spent, after I got done, I spent another week reading Mike's last chapter, reading my first,
mm-hmm.
over and over and over and over, and tweaking here and tweaking there, until finally after a week of it, it's like, I gotta let it go. Otherwise, I'll do this from now until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my biggest concern was that point where Mike stopped,
mm-hmm.
and I start.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when Dawn got done reading it for the first time, she sent us an email late at night. She goes, "Just got done. I'll give you my thoughts tomorrow morning." And I'm like, No. I will not sleep tonight. So I sent her an email, just said, just a basic impression. Because I have no idea how this turned out.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, "No, it was fine. Everything's good." So it's like, okay. That was my biggest concern, was just not having that big speed bump there where mm-hmm. people are reading like, "Oh, okay, this is where the other guy picked up."
Mm-hmm. Well, so like, I was looking for it.
Once we got through that.
See, I was looking for it. So, but the normal reader is not going to look for it.
And I didn't look for it, and I never really knew where it happened.
But I mean, Dawn, you edited this book. Did you find any differences between editing Richard's work and Mike's work?
I thought it was very seamless. I thought it was miraculous,
uh-huh.
because it was just like Richard jumped right into Mike's brain. It was really interesting.
Wow. Wow, yeah, Palinelli, you another pat in the back.
There you go. I'm just relieved that it wasn't. I'm trying to say this right. I'm just relieved that it wasn't a big train wreck when I got done with it, because like I said, I'd known Mike for years, even though we'd never met in person. I'd known him since about 2004, and we missed two chances to meet, and you know now that's something that's not going to happen. So there was that regret hanging over me, and this project I put a lot of other things on hold for, and I wasn't going to pick back up until I got this done and got it done right. So this one really means a lot more to me than a lot of other things I've done. So you know, when I hear people say, you know, we didn't notice that the difference, it reads seamless, and they like the way we wrapped it, or I wrapped it up. That's the, you know, I'll take that every day, because that was what I was hoping for.
Well, it was a good, like I think Russ said and you said, it was a good ending. That was a great ending to the book, especially,
you know, that ending almost was different. And I, you know, Brenda had mentioned to me at one point, she goes, "I don't think Mike is going to let us mess this up."
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, he was hanging off my shoulder one night, because I had this big battle scene in mind. Uh-huh. I was going to do a military battle scene like he did, as a tribute to him. And so I had this thing all set up, and this little voice in my head's going, "You know, you need to go and check this Roman dude out and make sure Mike didn't go pull somebody from history." And I wasn't going to. I was like, "No, okay, fine. I'll Google it. Nothing's going to come up, because I've never heard this Roman name before." So he just made this up. Well, I Google it. No, he didn't. It was an actual, you know, the guy actually existed.
Invaded
he
Ireland.
Actually invaded Ireland. There was, you know, how the whole campaign went. So it's like, okay, throw that ending out, and now let's see what we can do. And I think I'm going to give credit to Mike on that one.
Mm-hmm.
For just, you know, tapping me on the shoulder and telling me you need to take another look here.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, I think we did come up with a very good ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also I'm going to say that as far as description, I mean, when you read a book, I mean, it's so much of it is your own imagination and how you picture things. And I felt so comfortable in both eras when we were looking at the Romans attacking, mm-hmm. and I saw that. I mean, I felt right there. Yet when you switch to the future, I again felt exactly where I was supposed to be. I had little feelings in the back of my mind of the original Star Trek movies.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of touched in with me as I was reading it, but it felt very comfortable in both places.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike did a very good job world building. I mean, he really established both timelines and gave us all, you know, well-developed characters, a pretty good idea of who was doing what and why. So, you know, in that respect, it made the job easier because he had done such a good job of setting the table. So those last four chapters were easier to write. And the other thing he did was he likes to start chapters with a quote. Right. And he had done two quotes for the next two chapters he was going to write. And even though there wasn't an outline or notes to work with, those quotes gave me, you know, in addition to what Brenda and Jeremy told me, they gave me an idea of what was going on in his head, what he was going to do for those chapters. So it made that easier. When it came time to come up with the quotes for the last two chapters, though, I'm kind of on my own, and I've never, you know, I'm not a quote machine. I don't have all these quotes that I've got stashed away. So I decided to let the last chapter quote be Mike getting the last word in a way. So I took the quote that he has on his website of, "I've come to accept the voices in my head. I just wish they wouldn't spit when they talk."
Yep.
So I figured that was a way to get, you know, get, let him have the last word in his book as much as we could.
I like it.
But the chapter before that, I'm sitting here and I got no idea what I'm going to run with. And this one kind of raises the hair on my arm, because I did a lot of searching, and I came across this quote by Charles Dalent, who I had never heard of before. I didn't even know he's a writer until about a month and a half later, when I found out that he is a client of Mickey at Creative Edge.
Mm-hmm.
So I had used this guy's quote, and now, you know, we're you know, kind of co-clients at the same publicity agency. So it was strange how that worked. But the quote kind of, not only it worked with the chapter, but it kind of worked with what I was feeling as I was writing these last four chapters. And I'm gonna read the quote, if you guys don't mind. It's, "We chase after ghosts and spirits and are left holding only memories and dreams. It's not that we want what we can't have. It's that we've held all we could want and then had to watch it slip away."
Wow.
And to me, you know, to me, it spoke to what was going through my head as I was doing this, mm-hmm. as well as what was going on in that chapter.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Richard. Hey, tough for a minute. I'm going to have to do, I got to do a commercial for Og Dog's Rule, of course.
Release the Househounds.
It's that time. Don't go away. And Beth and Don, will you stay with us?
Yes.
Okay. Don't go away. We'll be back to you in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, let me go. Imagine deep blue skies, majestic mountains, and acres of lush green orange trees, and a tranquil country setting. Sound like a perfect vacation spot? It is, for your dog. That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Whether you were going away for a one- or two-night getaway or an extended vacation, All Dogs Rule is the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. When your dog returns home, you'll have to ask whose vacation was better. And, of course, the obvious answer was the dog's. So check out their website, alldogsrule.com, or give them a call at 805-524-1100. Your dog will thank you. And we are back with Richard Polinelli and Beth and Dawn on the phone. And, of course, Russ is in the studio along with the bookie. She is here as well. That's actually Richard's radio wife. And if you want to call in now and talk to Richard Polinelli, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. Hey, Richard, you've got another book that you sent over. I did not get a chance to read it. It's When Gods Fall. Is that it?
When the Gods Fell.
When the Gods Fell. You want to give us a brief outline of that one? Now, that one is available.
No, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
It's going to come out on September the 4th.
Okay.
And if you happen to be in Atlanta and hit me up at Dragon Con, I'm planning on having some early release copies with me, so you might be able to sweet talk me out of one.
Ah, well, I don't plan on being in Atlanta, but
I don't know if you'll be in Atlanta, but if anybody out there is, you can catch me there. Yeah, it's one that Dawn also edited.
Oh.
So she knows a little bit about it as well. It basically, if you are familiar with the ancient aliens and the ancient astronauts thing that you see on History Channel, it kind of takes some of their theories and says, what if they're right? We have a manned mission to Mars that lands, and they're going out and collecting all the old probes to bring back, and they encounter Oracle Delphi, who is the last remaining resident of Mars, and she tells a story about how all of the ancient gods of our mythology were actually real people who lived on Mars millions of years ago, and we are actually their descendants. And it tells a story about how they were destroyed and how we all wound up here on planet Earth.
That sent a chill down my spine when you said that we are all descendants of them. That was just creepy.
Yeah, it's
so we're all Martians.
The gods that we know as Zeus and whatever. I mean, I was grabbing Roman gods and Egyptian and everything. All those that we consider gods were actually humanoid people like us.
Wow.
And millions of years ago, there was a bit of a uprising, and it wound up destroying Mars, and we were the lucky descendants of those few that were able to leave the planet in time.
Huh. You got me. I'm just sitting here going, whoa.
Well, I'm waiting to see, because I'm sure there's going to be some people of various religions that are going to be mad at me, but, it's a story. It's fiction.
I don't think anybody's going to be mad at you for that. I mean, everybody's studied mythology. Well, the Greeks... There's
some blasphemy here and there,
The Greeks thought their gods were real anyway.
Yeah.
And then when the Romans stole the Greek gods and gave them new names, and they thought their gods were real.
Well, let me put it to you this way. When I first started it, I sent the first three chapters to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He read it, and he made some suggestions that I took to heart. But his first comment was, you really want to wind up like Salman Rushdie. And so the point he made was, okay, I can see where that could happen. So I made the adjustment he suggested. And it turned out it made for a much better story. But yeah, the original way that was going, I probably would have had to be sleeping in a different bed every night for a while.
Or in a different country.
Different country, yeah. But, like I said, Dawn edited it. Uh-huh. She did a great job, like she did with Erie, and I want to thank her for the work she did on both of those books. It was outstanding work.
Hey, Dawn, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When you sit down and you're going to start editing something, how many times do you normally have to go through a book before you've figured you've caught most everything and you go into a proofreading stage?
I go through a book twice.
Okay.
The first time is basically just reading it.
Uh-huh.
Just to get a feel for it, make sure that I understand everything. And then the second read through, that's when I really dig in there, get out as many red pens or whatever as I need, and start sifting through it. And it's very long, and it's a very long, drawn-out process, because I literally read every single word, mm-hmm. every single line, and making sure that it, has everything is supposed to be right, mm-hmm. and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
I love sure. When the Gods Fell. I loved it.
I edit myself, but not myself, but other books. When you edit, are you with the finished product, or do you edit so many chapters at a time?
I prefer a finished product because I've discovered in the past, and I'll never do this again, when someone just feeds you chapters,
mm-hmm.
it's just not good, because you need the whole overall thing. Because as a writer myself with 10 books out there, as you're writing, things change. You go back, you go forward, So I don't want to waste my time editing something that is going to be changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Brenda, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Is there a release date yet for Eerie?
It is with some beta readers right now.
Okay.
Because I wanted a couple of opinions of the story from people that were not close to Mike. I just felt like that way, that I was too close to it and his boys were too close to it, so that we got a very good outside opinion, if you would, of the storyline and if there were any holes that they found. Of course, I think it's perfect, but you know, I'm very prejudiced about the story, so
yeah.
And it is something that I normally, it's not the genre that I normally read. So I wanted someone else that, I wanted someone else that was familiar with the fantasy and the space thing, that read fantasy and sci-fi, to kind of dig into it. I am shooting for a mid-July release.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I know Richard finished it really quick, and we were shooting for having it released June 1st because that was Mike's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like I owed it to him to make sure it was right and to not rush it. And I was working, and I had to finish up another project that Mike was in the middle of. He had just literally okayed the second audiobook of his trilogy, and he was had a contract for the third one. So I kind of pushed everything to the back burner to get that the audiobook out for The Wrath of God, which it's been approved, so it should be up there in the next day or two. And then I'm going to jump into what the beta readers have come back with. And I really felt like that a mid-July date is reasonable, because I am not familiar with the whole process after this. So I'm going to have to, you know, really take my time and make sure that it's right.
I think making, you know, taking the extra time and making sure everything's really right with it is the smart move. I was just wondering if we were getting close to that, because I'm going to be out there promoting as much as I can, and not because I was directly involved in writing part of it. It's just I really want Mike's last book to be his best, if that's at all possible. So one thing I do want to do is I want to thank you and Mike's two sons for trusting me with this. It really means a lot to me that I was able to do it. And I, at the same time, I wish he had been able to finish it, but if he couldn't, I'm glad I was able to do that. And I'm glad you guys trusted me with this, because it means a lot, and it always will mean a lot to me that you guys let me do this for you.
Mm-hmm. Is the book going to be available in the normal outlets? Amazon, booksellers?
Yes. I plan to use the same formats that Mike used in the past. It will be available on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It will be available by, you know, mail order from Barnes & Noble and other bookstores.
Sure.
They have not stocked his trilogy, but it is available for order through their website as well as Amazon. So we will be releasing it in all of the familiar places that his readers would normally go to look for those.
Okay, and that's mid-July, you say?
Yeah, that's my target date.
Okay.
So, and of course, I'll be, you know, pounding Richard and Dawn to help me get it formatted properly and out there. So I hope they're willing to delve a little bit deeper into this labor of love.
call me anytime, any day, anytime you need help on this. I'm available.
So that's Eerie by Gibson Michaels, and available mid-July, hopefully. Available at Amazon, online booksellers, Barnes & Noble. If you can buy a book there, I assume you can probably buy Eerie there. That didn't sound right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And you ladies, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I you know, it was nice having you, and kind of give us another perspective about, you know, when you have to jump in and finish someone else's work.
Thank
so
you.
We appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining us. And Richard, when the gods fell is available. Yeah. You think probably September.
September 4th, that is the targeted release date, barring some catastrophe. Everything is in place, so I don't foresee a delay.
Okay.
But,
and
it'll be out, and I'll be broadcasting that.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, Richard, I just had one quick question that I didn't get asked before, but when you were asked to finish this book, how long did it take you?
Okay, I gotta go back here and backtrack. Brenda sent me everything. I took a couple of weeks and just read the story a couple of times. I went through all the stack of critique notes. I think the box weighed about 20 pounds when I got it. So there was a lot of notes to go through. Spent a lot of time talking with Brenda and Jeremy. Actual writing, because I basically spent the week that my wife was in Phoenix doing her doctorate program, I was holed up in a hotel room in Phoenix for that entire week doing nothing but writing. So I think between that and then going through and doing the changes and the edits I wanted to do, probably about 2 to 3 weeks to do those four chapters.
And you mentioned that you talked to his wife and his sons. What did you derive from those conversations? I mean, how did that help you with the perspective of the book?
Well, the way Mike had it written, I had a pretty good idea of what he had in mind for the spaceship crew in orbit, for the miners down on the planet, for the creatures that live within the planet. The only question I really had was what was going to happen with the first century people. When we got to the end and the planet went through its final transition.
Right.
Because I really wasn't clear on it. And if he snuck a little hint in as I went back later and read, it's like, I should have seen that. I just basically asked them, what did he say he had in mind for them? And it helped me because it kept me from doing something Mike wasn't going to do. So the answers I got gave me the direction I needed to go. And like I said, once I figured out that Roman general was actually real, that kind of gave me a little bit more sharper focus on, okay, here's a way to tie this storyline off and do so in a way where there's you know, there's a sense of finality to everything, and you didn't have this, well then what was the whole point of them being there then,
right,
feeling when you got to the end of the book. So it just getting their input just kind of helped me make sure I was staying on the right path with what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did it again. I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed it, and it all
nice
tied
job.
Together so well
nice
for
job.
Me. Anyhow, I was
thank you
very
nice job.
Very much enjoyed it.
And Richard, you're going to hang with us for a few minutes.
Sure, I understand we have a
Henry Parker
call.
Be calling in. Yeah, and ladies, thank you again for joining us. It's been a hoot having you, and good luck with the book.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We appreciate your time.
Oh, no worries. And have yourself a wonderful evening or what's left of it.
All right.
Y'all take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Richard. And you're the only one left.
I'm still here. Yeah, you can't get rid of me. I'm like a bad penny. I'm
well, yeah, you
up.
Actually are. You're kind of like, you know, a scab that won't go away. No.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Disgusting.
God.
You know, the one thing, is Henry on yet?
Not yet.
Okay, the one thing we didn't touch on, I'm grateful that I did the Sherlock Holmes anthologies that I did, because they were all, we had to write in the style of the original author.
Right. He's calling in right now. Hang on.
Okay.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on. Hank Tough Richards.
How's it
going? Hank Tough Richards just finishing a comment. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay.
Okay.
Basically, we had to write in Doyle's style. So I had three times where I had practice of picking up another author's writing style and writing within that. The difference was, in those three, I had an original story where I was doing what I wanted. In this one, I had to pick up Mike's style and stay within the story he was writing. Mm-hmm. But it still, that experience helped. It made doing this a little bit easier to do.
Gotcha. Well, you did a good job. So,
well, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Park.
Well, good evening, Jim. It's your roving Western reporter.
It certainly is. And you're here with Jerry and Russ in the studio and Richard Polinelli on the phone from Omaha, Nebraska.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Hello.
No. The lady.
Jerry.
Well, close enough.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa. Hey. Henry, I haven't met you yet. You just wait.
Actually, I think you did meet him.
No.
Okay. Anyway.
Once again, Henry sticks his foot in it.
You know what? As long as it's warm and squishy, who cares? Okay,
I do get even.
Let's go with what we got, Henry. What do you got for us?
Well, I'll tell you. Now, I'm not superstitious about much, but I've learned not to talk about things until they happen. I jinxed myself with the whole West Duty thing.
Okay.
Although I did finally get an excellent interview, so I'm not going to say anything about what two interviews are going to have next week, because then they won't happen.
Ah.
But I did get an excellent interview with Ethan Wayne, John Wayne's youngest son.
Very nice.
Growing up on movie sets. Yeah. And acting in Big Jake. The first part of the interview is in the current Henry's Western Roundup, and it'll conclude in the next issue. It really creates a nice, warm picture of the Duke and reveals the problems the kids had after he died, like they were locked out of the home.
Wow, really?
They were eventually let in. Yeah, each kid was given a dozen stickers and said, go and stick them on the 12 things you want to keep.
Whoa.
Sounds like my mother.
Was that from his wife that did that? Not their mother,
but Pilar?
Yeah.
I think it goes back to Pilar and, the court-appointed or whatever executors.
Right. Well, Pilar is Ethan's mother. Right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Ethan is also hosting right now Western Icons with Ethan Wayne on HDNet all week, including some great nightly double features. With great stars tomorrow, it's the Alamo and the Sons of Katie Elder. And Monday, Memorial Day, it's 24 hours of classic westerns.
On HDNet?
Oh, did you hear that Clint Walker died?
Yes, I. That was, I just heard that, about 3 days ago, 4 days ago?
Right. At 90.
Yeah.
Fine actor, of course, Cheyenne for seven seasons. And what a big guy.
Huge dude.
Ty Harden, who, you remember Ty, who played Bronco?
Yeah, Bronco Lane.
And he passed away a year ago, and he told me that he tried never to be photographed next to Walker because he thought he looked like a munchkin next to him.
Well, he probably would, because Clint Walker was a big man.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Now, coming up in the Roundup, as summer approaches, Western fans have a lot to look forward to.
Okay.
Kevin Costner has two latter-day Western miniseries coming up.
Right.
Yellowstone on the Paramount Network in June, and The Highwaymen for Netflix later on. From the Coen brothers, we've got The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, an anthology Western series with six intersecting storylines. And that's coming sometime in 2018. We don't know quite when, but on Netflix. And on the big screen, Damsel, coming out June 22nd, is a comic Western starring Robert Pattinson of the Twilight films. Is a pioneer who travels west to marry his lady love, Mia Wasikowska, I think that's how I say it. And when things go wrong, the lines between who is the hero and who is the damsel in distress start to blur. Then the following week, June 29th, Woman Walks Ahead premieres, starring Jessica Chastain as a Brooklyn portrait painter who goes west to paint Sitting Bull and gets involved in the Lakota fight for their land. That one also stars Sam Rockwell.
Wow.
That would be a good movie.
Let's see. Yeah, the trailer looks terrific. I'm going to be putting up the trailers of all of these on the Roundup. Big Hill, a very entertaining, very fun Western starring Lou Diamond Phillips and Jason Patrick, is coming out in August. It's a serious Western with a lot of action and two terrific gunfights.
Uh-huh.
But it's got a tone similar to Butch Cassidy, which is a relief from how, to me, how relentlessly grim a lot of recent Westerns have been.
Yeah.
Actually, let's see, Bill Tilman and the Outlaws, just got the trailer for that. The truth-inspired, shall we say, story about the time in silent movie years when someone got real lawmen and real outlaws together to make a Western. They're looking at an October release. And that one stars Western pros like Robert Carradine, Darby Hinton, Lana Wood, Johnny Crawford. And I'll be reviewing some new books and DVD releases. And if you haven't picked up the May issue of True West with Ulysses S. Grant on the cover, please do so and read my story about the Cowboy Way, Alabama.
Okay.
Cowboy reality show on INSP.
Okay.
Hey, guess where you can read all about this and more?
Tell us.
At www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
You're the man. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, pal.
I can't wait. Take care, folks.
Bye, okay,
Henry.
Bye-bye.
You too, Henry. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, Richard.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Stay out of trouble, my brother.
I will do so. It's hard to get into trouble out here in Nebraska.
I know. You have to go so far to find it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. My best to Cheryl.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You betcha.
It's been fun, and I will try to stay in touch as much as I can.
Well, I hope so.
And we're booked for the year.
You're the other half of Tuscany Bay Books, so you better stay in touch.
Yeah, I will. You and I will talk, but I will try to come on the show on occasion when news presents itself.
Cool beans. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye, Richard.
All right, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I was Richard, and golly, I can't imagine picking up somebody's work like that and just finishing it in 2 weeks.
I know. But you know, the story was good. The story was good.
Yeah.
You keep saying, you know, how great of a job that Richard did, but you know, Mike did a really wonderful job. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Okay, next week we have writer Roy Griffiths with us, and of course Bob Brill will be back in Russ's chair, and Bobby Jean will be back on the phone. And I don't know if the bookie will be here or not. It's going to be up to her. And June, we have some pretty good authors coming in. We have on the 7th, John Arthur Long. I don't know what any of these guys have written. 14th is Tom Simmons. The 21st is Michael Brady. And the 28th is Bob Brill. So he's going to be talking about his Lancer series. So that's going to be it for us tonight. Thanks, you, Rush, for...
You're right there?
I just talked and belched at the same time. It's like, you ever sneeze and cough at the same time?
Yes, that I've done. But it's never on the air.
It's a snuff.
Never on the air.
I damn near broke a rib doing that one.
Oh, jeez.
I know, huh? Anyway, thanks, Russ, for coming in and
thank
joining us.
Thank you so much.
And, of course, Bookie, thank you, darling, for joining us in both shows tonight. And with that being said, it's another Thursday shot in the butt. And we are... out of here.